From Ben Franklin Studios in Queen Creek, Arizona, it's the Radio 201 Podcast.
ChatGPT is so good and writes so much like a human that it can be used to write essays and do homework assignments.
Hello, everybody. This is Angelo Fernando from Radio 201. Welcome again to the podcast from the computer lab at Benjamin Franklin High School, and it's episode 38. This is the second week of school in January 2023, and I thought I'd have a quick podcast about a topic that has been coming up in the last few weeks, and it's happened to be a discussion among some of us teachers here, and that is about AI. That's right, artificial intelligence. It's kind of one of those rocky, controversial subjects.
A new artificially intelligent chatbot that you can command to write pretty much any text.
Now, I'm bringing this up because in the second week of school, I talk about privacy. I talk about content and about how we share content and how we consume content and where are we getting this content? Can we believe it? What kind of methods are we using to verify whether it's accurate or not? This is all connected, and how we are using the digital tools available to us, are we using them responsibly? But then comes along artificial intelligence, which has rear-ended us while we were not watching. So I want to take this head on, and that's what this podcast is going to be about.
The New York City Department of Education is cracking down on a particular tool. Students and teachers can no longer access an artificial intelligence chatbot that generates writing. It's called ChatGPT.
And of course, I did try ChatGPT, which you'll hear about in a moment. Now, because I also teach a class in creative writing, this topic of can AI actually write content for you? Can it design images for you? It kind of intrigues me. And I've even been slightly alarmed by all this talk about AI replicating the skills or the talent of humans. And I say I'm skeptical of it because I guess I'm at that age where I was once trying to experiment with all these digital tools and realized that some of it is more hype than substance. A site called Second Life. And the whole idea was that this virtual world would become part of our real world. And we would all inhabit a virtual world where we would go and do shopping and socialization and interactions with professional organizations, all in this so-called Second Life world where we only lived as avatars. Never panned out. Now, yes, Facebook is trying to recreate this in the 2020s with the metaverse. Now, even that has got a lot of criticism. But anyway, don't want to go down that rabbit hole. To go back to AI, many people have considered this like the death knell of flesh and bone writers, of journalism. And plagiarism is going to be a big problem, right? Now, let's be honest. Yes, as teachers, as people who manage content, we are all worried about content being plagiarized or just regurgitated. But if you think about it, if you're a writer or if you're teaching writing, you're not worried so much about plagiarism, even though we are. You're worried about originality. You're worried about creativity. You're concerned that, or you want your students to learn to use sentences and vocabulary and phrases and ideas that could not have come from somewhere else. It has to come from within. Something that's personal to you, something that you had some flash of inspiration. And I say this in a positive way because I get my students to write a lot of original content, you know, sitting in front of a computer or with their notebooks open. And you'd be surprised, or I am surprised, I'm always surprised at the kind of original content that comes up. This week I got them to write about privacy. I got them to write about what it means to be digitally connected. And my prompt was, is Google actually private? And it was a kind of a broad question, meaning anything you do on a Google-based platform, whether it's a browser or maybe it's a Google app, brought up a lot of sidebar issues. Like Google Home, for example. Some people have 5 to 10 Google devices in their home. Like, how do you know whether that is also secure? How do you know whether the Ring doorbell, which is happens to be owned by Google, how do you know whether recordings of that are not lying somewhere on a server somewhere and accidentally shared? And we had stories in class of students saying that they have heard of or personally experienced times when content from one of these smart speakers or doorbell cameras have been accidentally shared or compromised. So the whole idea of privacy and originality have kind of melded together, and this is a topic that I like to bring up in the first or second week of school. But to get back to this topic about AI and originality. Now, because this is such a big issue, I wanted to test out two apps, two different formats of AI. And the first one is called ChatGPT. You may or may not have heard of it. It's going to be all over the news very soon because everyone and their brother is using it or trying it out. So I thought I'll do that. Oh, and by the way, while this is being recorded, I've just put together or edited the final touches of the school podcast, which is Fully Charged. And that's exclusively on our take on AI. So please give it a listen if you have some time. To get back to where I left off, the software inside it is called OpenAI. Basically, you give it a prompt and you ask it to write something. And yes, within a few seconds, you'll see the content appearing in front of your eyes. So here's what I asked the AI to do. I asked it to comment on an article written by an author who goes by the name of Mitch Joel and what he says about AI. So basically, I said, is Mitch Joel right about AI? Now, I tried to make this tricky because I wanted to see if it could, first of all, understand what he said, because he's been widely published, he's an author, but I also wanted to make sure that it can comment on itself on AI. I didn't want it to be easy, like saying, you know, give me the five reasons why I should travel to Ireland or something, which would have been super easy for AI to do. So the AI, in my mind, got a C-, right? It didn't really do a good job. So here's what it brought up. So remember, the prompt was, is Mitch Joel right about AI platforms? And AI's response?
Without more context, it is not possible to accurately answer your question. Mitch is a well-known digital marketing and business strategist who has written extensively on the topic of artificial intelligence and its potential impact on various industries.
To be fair, I actually converted it with a text-to-speech application to give it that funny robotic voice. But you get the idea.
It is possible that he has made a number of statements about AI platforms that could be considered right or wrong depending on one's perspective, and that the specific context in which those statements were made.
Oh my goodness, it can't even come up with an opinion here. It's basically saying it is possible, then it's saying without more context, I cannot come up with an idea.
Depending on one's perspective.
And he could have or could not have come up with statements about it. That's pretty lame, I think. You know, if somebody gets up in class and makes these statements, I'll ask him or her to think about what you're saying and come up with an opinion, not some bland, neither here nor there statement. And there were two other paragraphs, both of which were so bland and so unconvincing that you could tell that the AI was really, really struggling and pretending to know what it's talking about, but actually it didn't. So, like I said, C minus. So that's my first attempt. The second attempt was, I tried another platform, right? And in that, it is actually a design platform, which is a fabulous piece of software when you think about it. It's called DALL-E. Like, I guess it's allusion to Salvador Dali, I don't know. It's DALL.E. So I asked it to come up with a magazine cover. I'm thinking, hey, smart Alec AI, you're good at designing original creativity, come up with a magazine cover. That means you've got to come up with a masthead, an image, some good background colors, fonts, and even some topics. So the magazine I chose was Wired because I subscribe to it and I like the covers. It's one of those most creative tech magazines out there. The prompt was Wired magazine cover with DALL-E. Again, I tried to make it tricky. I wanted to think about itself. How could it feature itself on a cover? If you want to take a look at what it looks like, the responses, it's on my website And also I have a post in Medium. You can find me on Medium at heyangelo.medium.com, I believe. Now, it's not a complete fail, but it was more or less a C, right? It didn't really shine. The reason is it put in the name Dali up on the masthead. It brought in some random image, which has nothing to do with AI. In fact, it gave me four options. Two of the options were like very robotic images. And I'm thinking, I'm not asking you to design a cover on humanoids or something like that. I'm asking you to design a cover about your AI app. It could have done better. I mean, I can give a 7th or 8th grader an idea about designing a cover about AI, and it could come up with something better than this. So here's my point. DVD, not very good. Content, decent. It can put together things very quickly. But if you were to enter these for a contest, or if you were to put it before a panel of people and ask to distinguish between what was done by humans and what was done by a machine, almost anybody could spot the one that was done by a machine and could easily say that that version was not very, very good. So that's my story, okay? And after a short break, I'm going to share with you what some of our teachers have been saying about AI, especially the ones who have been experimenting with it and how some of the discussions they've had about it. Because remember, it's just about 2 months since all this AI got released into the public domain. So we are actively testing it out. We're actively discussing this, and it's interesting to see these perspectives early on.
This is the Writing and Publishing Class.
And you're listening to
Radio 201
from the Computer Lab.
Thank you for listening so far to this podcast. This is Radio 201 from Benjamin Franklin High School. You know, I mentioned that I would get back to you with what teachers say about AI. But before that, I just wanted to tell you something which is really interesting. You know, there's an organization called Nieman Journalism Lab, or Nieman Labs. It's part of the Harvard School. And I sometimes follow this because they have wonderful reports. So Nieman Labs had some predictions in journalism for 2023. And one of those predictions was that journalism will be flooded with information through AI. Or the way they put it is AI content will flood the internet. Now, they're trying to give us a kind of a warning, but also trying to be circumspect about it and say that, you know, you got to take it as it comes. It's not so dangerous, right? So here's one thing. It says that while ChatGPT won't win any journalism awards, at least for now, can certainly automate much of the long tail of content on the internet. Websites could have summaries of news stories the moment after they're published, even brand stories. Or if you pick a topic like cooking, you can use ChatGPT to populate a recipe site from scratch. Or you might pick a city or a country and have AI argue in favor or against of a political position or some issue in a local community. So it might come up with general content for discussion, more or less a summary of things that have been already said, and they would pull it from content niches and content farms. Now let's get back to what the teachers say. So I was in the break room this morning, and I was talking to a teacher, and she had some really interesting things to say.
As an English teacher, it is obviously my responsibility to make sure that what students are producing and writing is their own work. AI, it's not producing anything new.
You know, AI is going to come upon us, and we got to be prepared for it. We got to have our students prepared for it, because they're definitely going to want to use it, but we got to keep them aware of what it can and cannot do. And her summary of it was that we got to remember, all of us got to remember, that this could be the end of creativity. She said it's almost like the beginning of the end, because if AI can produce content so fast and maybe at one time so good, maybe people will stop being original because they wouldn't want to compete. They'll let the software or the technology take care of that. So what she was trying to imply was that our brains would basically take a back seat and we would outsource our originality and our creativity to software. Now that's just kind of a scary thought, and unless we prepare young people for this time, unless we empower them and show our confidence in them that the creativity and the originality that they can come up with is going to be far, far better than what the software can do, we're going to basically fall back and think that, okay, you know, we just can't help the flow of history. This is where it's going. Now, I'm not going to take that backseat. I'm not going to be the one who says, you know what, all you writers out there, you need to stop coming up with original ideas and start generating content. I'm not going to let them let the AI prompt the story. Maybe they might let the AI give them some insight into a story, but if they have to. But there's a better way to do this, and that is, comes down to reading, isn't it? If you pick up any book, any good author or any decent author, you'll find that there are some stories that you would have never, ever heard of. You will come across turns of phrases, you'll come across vocabulary, you'll come across perspectives of society that you and I may not have access to. Either it's because it's way 2 centuries ago, like if you're reading Dickens, for example, or you're reading somebody like Hunter Thompson, and a topic came up this morning in my writing and publishing class on gonzo journalism. I mean, you wouldn't know what that is all about. You can't expect AI to write like, you can't expect AI to write stories deeply rooted in that culture. I mean, it might mimic it. You'd be able to spot, and I'm pretty confident about this, we will be able to spot the lack of passion, the lack of originality and personality. We'll figure out that this kind of gets boring after some time when there is no human voice behind it. And voice, by the way, is a topic that is huge when it comes to writing and journalism. Unless you have your voice, unless you have your original voice that you develop, and I'm not talking of the spoken voice, I'm talking about the voice in your head, the voice that makes you have certain perspectives. Unless you reflect that in your writing, it's going to be bland, it's going to be boring, it's going to be just another summary that any new fancy schmancy AI app can come up with. So I'll leave you with that, and if you stick around, I'll have a few sound bites about what one of my teachers has to say about this. Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this show. Radio 201 from Benjamin Franklin High School, the Computer Lab. This is Angelo Fernando signing off.
And yeah, there's so much potential, but also so many unknowns. Terrifying.
Plagiarism is not only defined by copying something word for word, it's also taking ideas that aren't yours.
I mean, it doesn't happen in every generation that there's something truly new in this way. You know, like the MP3 player to the iPod to the iPhone. But this is something I think really...
It has the potential different. To be akin to just like the introduction of the internet.
Thank you for listening to Radio 201. You can find more of these podcasts on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.